Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush, Mini Crush, Mini Crush.
It's the little crush.
It's the tiniest, littlest, cutest damn crush on the internet.
And yet it still crushes you.
That isn't about baby goats. How you doing, Noel?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm about the same as when we recorded a few minutes ago. peek behind the curtain.
Or ruining the magic.
Call it what you will.
Man, I'm sweating. It is hot in here. How do you have on that coat?
I don't know. I'm not feeling it like you are, Chuck.
Jeez. All right. I don't know what's going on. Welcome, everyone. Hope these mini crushes are going well for you. I am certainly enjoying them, and I think Noel is.
Oh, big time.
I don't want to speak for you, Noel.
Speak away.
All right. My name's Noel, and I'm super hot, too, and I just don't support Chuck.
Lies.
all right. This week, we're going to start with segment one, social studies.
Social studies with Charles W. Chuck Bryant.
And as you know, social studies is when I ask you on Facebook, on the Movie Crush page, a little question, and everybody answers. And this week, we're going to go with this question. What actor or actress will make you see a movie just because they're in it, and why? How about that?
It's making me think.
Yeah, I'm going to go, well, I have a couple of answers, as usual. I so cheat when it comes to these things. Part of me says Michael Shannon, just because he's so awesome, and I will see anything that he's in for sure.
I recently heard him described on NPR as constantly playing bug-eyed psychopaths.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not very nice. That's just how he looks. But then I looked at pictures of him, and he doesn't always look like that. He can totally put on the bug-eyed expression, and
yeah,
that is like a thing that he does.
That's
He's
true.
A very attractive man.
He's acting. So Noel has a crush on Michael Shannon, which
Big
is
time.
Great.
Yeah.
But then part of me also says, like George Clooney, because of this reason. Is George Clooney the best actor ever? No, but he's really solid. And my deal with Clunes is, if I'm talking about, will I see a movie if he's in it, I know it's going to be a good movie, because people like George Clooney can be super selective now. The George Clooneys and the Julia Roberts of the world are super selective in their movies. So 9 times out of 10, a George Clooney movie is going to be a really good movie. Michael Clayton is going to be a great movie. Syriana is going to be a great movie. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is going to be a great movie. So if you're asking what movie would I see just because they're in it, Clooney's a pretty solid choice for me for that reason.
Mine is Nicolas Cage.
Oh, come on. You don't see. No one alive has seen every movie Nicolas Cage is
he
in.
He makes so many. I don't know. I think he's a delight. I'm really excited about his new movie, Mandy, coming out. Apparently, he has
I've heard about that.
A chainsaw fight.
And yeah, yeah.
Like, it's the guy that directed that movie, Beyond the Black Rainbow, that was kind of this throwback VHS style, like synthy 80s, you know, sci-fi. And this one is apparently Nicolas Cage at his most batshit and unhinged. And
yeah,
used properly, because Nicolas Cage is like a deadly weapon, you know,
right,
in the wrong hands.
Yes.
He's going to burn the town down.
But which, like, is to say, yeah, his own hands.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I think he's a fascinating character. I'm only half joking. I love seeing his bad movies. You know, The Wicker Man is insanely bad.
That's, I never,
so fun.
I would not. I didn't see that.
Yeah. No. We're on two opposite sides of the spectrum here, Chuck.
Yeah. I like the original, though. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start listing some of these. Erica Winter says Richard Jenkins. Boy, he's great. He's an incredible actor, elevates even a mediocre script with his interpretation. I agree with that.
I know you said you didn't love Shape of Water, but didn't you think he was fantastic?
Yeah, I mean,
that?
He's great.
Yeah.
6 Feet Under is one of my top three all-time shows.
Yeah.
And he's just, every time he appears, is the ghost father. The ghost father?
Yeah. Ghost dad.
He is ghost dad. Fox Rain Matthews says Gene Wilder. I was raised in foster care growing up and always imagined him as my long lost father. That's how it started anyway. Boy, that's a great reason. We have a lot of Tom Hankses in here. Brett Wellstead says Tom Hanks, because he's been in a variety of roles in film genres, comedy, drama, crime, suspense, dark, rom-com, sci-fi, animation. That is true. Tom Hanks is solid.
He doesn't really pick a stinker either, usually. I mean, I'm not crazy
usually
about those Da Vinci movies. Those are just not my thing. But
not into that either.
I'm sure they're fine.
Did you see Cloud Atlas?
That's one of those ones that people either said was fucking amazing
yeah.
or unwatchably bad. And I have not seen it, so I have yet to make a determination.
I know.
There.
I need to check that out. Quite a few Tom Hardys as well. Kayla M.H. says Tom Hardy, not only is he gorgeous, but I love the intensity he brings to his roles. That is certainly true. He's great.
Have you seen Bronson?
Oh, yeah.
So so good.
That's where he's, yeah, that's started it for me at least.
It's the one where he's all beefed up. It's like Clockwork Orange in a lot of ways. Like the story to that movie and just the way it's shot.
That's a true story.
And, oh, yeah.
About that guy,
but
right?
But the way it's shot and like the way that character progresses reminds me a lot of Kubrick and Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, for sure. Blaine Turner says Tilda Swinton, so captivating and really vanishes into her characters. That is certainly true.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
Nick Kelly, I'll see anything Ryan Gosling since Drive came out, mainly to see if he's playing Dark Side Ryan or Lars Ryan. Yeah, man, he's really versatile. I like Gosling.
Same.
Man crush. Avalon Rector, hey, we heard from Avalon on Listener Mail in the last one. Dame Maggie Smith, she's a powerhouse and rocks everything she does. Her stint on Downton Abbey as the sarcastic dowager is tops. Boy, you are right there. Greta Koning says Daniel Day-Lewis.
Of course.
Yeah, I just saw Phantom Thread.
I have not seen it yet. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Man, what a movie. Jason Hancock again with Daniel Day-Lewis and anything. Vanessa Lopez says Steve Buscemi. Sometimes the movies aren't great, like Con Air and Armageddon, but he's a great character actor, always entertaining.
Con Air is a masterpiece. I don't know what you're talking about.
Rene Chavez, John Cusack. So I'll say anything when I was an impressionable 13-year-old, when my home life was a wreck and I escaped to the movies with movies and music. He's been a part of my movie-going life since then. Yeah, I like John Cusack, but boy, you want to read some stories, read
about to say.
Crazy John Cusack stories in Chicago.
Apparently not the nicest fellow.
Yeah, he sounds like a real piece of work. Jennifer Fitzfee says Robert Duvall. Wayne Hickson says Jason Statham. Dan Stillhart Brody says Gary Oldman. Shannon Lambert, Tom Cruise in any action movie. Tom Cruise can rock the action picture.
He's really good at running.
I will say that. I saw a thing the other day where they showed the real, you know, he's famous for doing his own stunts.
Uh-huh.
They showed the behind the scenes. I guess this is new Mission Impossible where he jumps from one building to another. And it's really him, and he has, of course, wires and stuff, but he runs and jumps off of a building to another one and slams into the wall, comes up short, and it shows it in slow-mo and, like, cracks his ankle sideways.
Oh, my God.
So he's wired and stuff, but he got, like, legit injured. And it's crazy. Even if I had wires, I don't know, like, if I would do that.
Well, he's, like, obviously some kind of magical, ageless pixie creature because he looks like he's 20 years old, and he's got to be pushing late 50s? How old do you think he is?
Well, dude, I'm 46, and he's at least 10 or 12 years older than me.
Yeah, but crazy. Like, I think he's drinking children's blood or something to keep looking like that.
He's drinking that Scientology juice.
That's probably it.
Annabelle Sutton says Benedict Cumberbatch and Kristen Bell. Two great picks. Mm. I love me some Kristen Bell. She's great. Mary Lydia, the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Man. Heartbreaking.
Rob, speaking of heartbreaking, Rob Dickinson says Bill Paxton, always so grounded and relatable. That is certainly true.
I really enjoyed Big Love a lot. I think that wasn't a lot of people's number one HBO show, but I watched it every moment of that, and I think he is such a grounded, interesting character, like flawed, but also just very human and relatable in that show, as unrelatable a situation as that, you know, show.
I think Emily saw that. I never saw that.
It's great. About the, you know, polygamy in Utah.
Debbie Huntsman Drought says Meryl Streep. Well, I know that's a bit of an obvious answer, but you can't go wrong with Meryl Streep. Tim Curry from Lisa Mata Bond. Interesting. Tim Curry is great. It's very sad that he is not going to be acting anymore.
I think he's making appearances, though. Someone said that he was at a con. They saw him at a con recently and that he's, with it enough to, like, do those appearances. So
yeah, he had a pretty severe stroke. Wasn't that what it was?
That was what it was, yeah.
Very sad. The great Tim Curry.
And his best work is in the movie Congo. If you haven't seen Congo, that's some serious scenery chewing character he plays in
Congo.
That. You know what I'm talking about? The one with the monkeys shooting the lasers? Yeah. It was like, you know, a cash grab after Jurassic Park did so well. It is Jurassic Park. It is not, I tell you.
Right. Yeah. Kristen Glenn Kister says Helen Mirren always. Totally agree. I have the biggest crush on Helen Mirren. That's me talking, by the way. Catherine Berwitz, Ewan McGregor. Ewan's pretty great. Robert Lamb, our own Robert Lamb, the stuff to blow your mind, says Brad Dourif, because you know he's always going to breathe the right level of wide-eyed insanity into the part. And now I Google Brad Dourif.
He was the voice of Chucky, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
He was also the doc in Deadwood. And
yeah, well, he was
in Blue Velvet.
I remember him from One Floor of the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, my God. I didn't even remember that. But, yeah, he was one of the asylum mates, I guess.
Yeah, and the kind of the main – a lot of the story revolves around what happens to him, mm-hmm. Which I won't spoil, mm-hmm. even though that movie's like 100 years old. Jessica Foley says Julia Roberts. Yeah, that's true what I mentioned earlier. She doesn't act much anymore, and you can bet if she does, it's going to be a pretty good movie.
Remember in your Tig Notaro interview, she was talking about Cher, uh-huh. and how Cher was only, you know, does a movie once in a blue moon, and they're all super high caliber. I think that's an interesting one, too.
Totally. Brian Throckmorton. No, oh, what's up, Brian? I know Brian from way back. Sally Hawkins and Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell, for sure. All right, I guess that probably winds it up. Did I read enough?
Yeah, that was a good number.
Eve Elliott, Viggo Mortensen. Oh, yes.
Oh, Viggo is good. History of Violence. I watched that again for the first time in years recently, and so that great. Is excellent, excellent film.
Did you see Captain Fantastic?
I loved it. Loved it.
So great.
I think it got a bad rap for being too overly schmaltzy or, you know. I thought it was just amazing. It just got me.
Caleb Wyatt says Bill Murray and Michael Cera. Hey, there's a Nick Cage fan in here. Adam Balkovic.
My boy.
Nice. All right. So we're going to move on. Thanks for those answers. That was great. We're going to move on to segment two, and we're going to do highlight reel this week. And so for highlight reel, as you know, I just highlight whatever I feel like highlighting, whether it's a movie or an actor or a director, or maybe a few movies from a director. And this week, I'm going to go with the wonderful actor Amy Adams, one of my favorites. Her career, you know, she started in TV, did a bunch of TV small roles for a few years, kind of the traditional path. And then the first thing I saw her in was Catch Me If You Can, the great Steven Spielberg movie with Leo DiCaprio as the, can't remember his name, but the true story of the guy who wrote fake checks mm-hmm. to great success.
Just like an expert grifter.
Yes, yeah. Expert grifter. That's a good way to put it.
I like that, too, because it's, you know, it's a period piece. It's like 70s, I guess, or late 60s. And there's a part in Atlanta that is always interesting.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, when they're this party pad, like, uh-huh. you know, in Midtown or something.
Yeah, well, actually, that party pad was a party pad near the Chattahoochee River. And it was this legendary apartment complex on the Hooch.
Oh.
For singles only.
Okay.
Like no kids. And it was pretty – I had looked it up. I remember at the time. And it was just kind of one of those places yeah. that existed only in that time.
That's awesome. That's a good bit of trivia there.
Tea party every night. So she was in Catch Me If You Can, and she played the kind of doe-eyed, young wife. He married her. I think she had even braces at the beginning of the role. And she was just so young at the time. And then she kind of broke out from there in 2005 with the great, as a critic's darling, in the great independent film Junebug. That really put her on the map. And then she had a really terrific run over the next few years in Sunshine Cleaning and Doubt. Doubt, did you see that? That's a great one.
No, I should, though. I know people. Yeah,
it's pretty hardcore.
Very highly of it, yeah.
Yeah. Julie and Julia, of course, in 2010. David O. Russell's The Fighter and The Master in 2012. Pretty heavy year for her. 2013, American Hustle, and then Arrival and Nocturnal Animals just a couple of years ago. Have you seen Nocturnal Animals?
I love Nocturnal Animals.
Ooh, daddy.
It's intense, but it's just like perfect. Hits all the boxes for me. It's like
yep.
creepy, atmospheric, surreal,
yep.
violent, amazing performances. It's got that kind of unreliable narrator quality to it, which I yeah. really like. It's a really cool movie.
Yeah, I saw Nocturnal Animals without knowing anything about it, which is wonderful when that happens. Because the name doesn't really tell you much, and you're really not sure where the story's going when you start watching that movie.
Yeah, and Michael Shannon, like, doesn't play a bug-eyed sociopath in that one. I think he's, like, the sheriff, like, a kind of a good guy character.
That's right. So he can do it.
He can.
Anyway, she's just great. She's been in a lot of movies in between, obviously, in Big Eyes, which I did not like, but she's great. She had a small part in the Spike Jonze movie, Her, which I just saw again the other night. Good movie. And, of course, played Lois Lane. Probably the best thing about those Superman movies to me. And she's just so versatile. When Amy Adams shows up, you know you're going to get a great performance. She has the ability to be so natural no matter what role she's playing. And that's really like the mark of a great actor to me is when they're just, you can never tell that she's acting. She's just so effortless in everything that she's in. Physically, she's really, she's like a casting director's dream because she can play the plain Jane next door or like in American Hustle. She can, you can glamour her up because she's very beautiful, obviously, but she can run the gamut on who she plays. She can play anything. And it, again, it's just so effortless. There's really no role that I don't think that she could tackle, successfully. And you can tell in the past few years, obviously, everything from American Hustle, which she just chewed through that movie, to Arrival, which was a very, kind of an internal performance, I think. Is that a fair way of saying it?
I think so. Yeah.
It's not big.
No, but there's a lot of emotional complexity in that that reveals itself kind of gradually throughout the movie. And then there's a big kind of reveal.
Yeah.
Big stuff. Yeah. I loved that movie. That movie really got me.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. If you're not like shedding tears in Arrival, then again, you're dead inside. So that's my highlight reel for the week. Amy Adams, man, maybe one day the show can get to the point where I'm sitting down with people like her.
You didn't like Big Eyes?
No.
How come?
I thought the movie just wasn't very good, and Christoph Waltz, the casting of Christoph Waltz really bugged me.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, because he was from Oklahoma, and Christoph Waltz comes in there and
He can't not do that.
He can't hide his accent, and he is just a man from Oklahoma.
He over-enunciates everything.
Yeah, and he didn't even try. It was so weird. It just threw me. It threw me from the whole movie because I was just like, why cast a German guy to play a dude from Oklahoma?
I can see that. I guess I didn't – it wasn't made real clear in the movie that he was from Oklahoma to me, and I didn't know anything about the story, and I just thought –
You probably
was,
thought he was Austrian or German.
But in real life. To me, that didn't really play into the movie, but I quite enjoyed it. But it's a real cloying, awful, awful character that he plays too. He's just like the worst. He steals, you know, his – he basically like kind of marries this woman who is a – really talented painter. He himself is like a hack painter and then ends up like stealing her work and kind of almost like keeping her enslaved almost for years. It's such a crazy story that it kind of kept me invested. And I like a small Tim Burton movie too. So that kind of, it had me in that respect. But
all right.
I can see what you're saying, Chuck.
Thumbs up from Noel on Big Eyes. Thumbs down from me.
Totally thumbs down.
Although Amy Adams was great in it. I think I remember just feeling like, that true story deserved better than what it got. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. But not literally, because we're at work. all right. And finally, we finish with Stream This and Comment Card. Stream This. I, yesterday, in real time, watched The Ritual. Have you seen it yet?
It's horror?
Yes.
Is it?
Netflix original.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's not true. Netflix bought it.
Yeah.
But
isn't it one of our Atlanta guys that had something to do with that?
Yeah, David Bruckner.
Okay.
So David Bruckner is a local Atlanta filmmaker. He made his name originally with his part to the anthology horror movie The Signal. It was a three-part. And he went on to do three anthology movies in a row. So he did segments of The Signal, VHS, and Southbound. And personally think he was probably the best part of all three of those movies. But Bruckner is super talented, and it took him a long time to get his first feature under his belt. He was he really made a name for himself. So he was attached to the Friday the 13th reboot for a while. And as it goes in Hollywood, it kind of went into turnaround hell, I think, and he never got that off the ground. You know, not his fault, of course. And it just took a while for David to get in there and get his first feature going. And I think this one came together pretty quick in the end. It was based on a novel, maybe a novella, a short novel. And it's called The Ritual, just released in real time here this week. So that would be kind of early mid-February. And it's really good. It's unnerving. And I actually got in touch with David, and he's going to be on the show, which is going to be great.
Cool.
He's in L.A. now, so it's going to have to be out there.
So the Dan Bush is kind of in that world too, right?
Correct. Dan also directed one of the Signal pieces.
And our illustrious boss, Connell Byrne, is in those movies often.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is, it comes weirdly full circle here. But The Ritual is a story about these four friends in, I guess they're in London at the beginning of the movie. But they're British dudes. And I don't want to spoil anything, but the friends end up going on a hiking trip through Sweden to honor their friend. And they take a shortcut through the forest to get to the wherever they're going to end up, like a lodge, to get there quicker. And as you know, when you take a shortcut through the forest, bad things happen, Noel.
Every single time. I'm like, how do these people not know they're in a horror movie? Don't do it. Don't go that way.
No. In fact, one of the characters even has a line that says, shortcuts like aren't even real or something, because if they were, they would just be called the route. You know,
the hike, the trudge. Yeah.
So The Ritual is great. It's genuinely unnerving and spooky and creepy. And David does an exceptional job of my favorite thing in these kind of movies, which is called dread building. Not giving you too much, really like building up this anticipation of, oh shit, what is going on here? What is going to happen with these guys? What is this thing in the woods that is haunting / stalking them? Really, really terrific job there. And the hardest part of these movies to me is the payoff, that end, you know, 15 or 20 minutes or so, that third act is really tough in a movie like this, because there's always the choice of, like, if there is a creature, how much do you show of the creature? Do you give it all away? Do you explain it or not? And I just think David did a great job wrapping this one up. It was satisfying to me on all levels.
Mm-hmm. Just hearing you describe it kind of makes me think of It Comes at Night. Have you seen that? Where it's sort of like,
I have not yet.
They're in the woods.
I heard it's awesome.
Cabin, and you know, the threat of a creature, or uh-huh, this idea, this existential dread, is as much the thing that builds the tension as any actual reveal of
right,
said creature or
yeah,
thing, you know.
I mean, that's what I want, at least, out of my movies like this. You can take your hostels. I saw The Green Inferno the other day, finally. Have you seen that?
That's like the kind of Cannibal Holocaust type one.
Yeah, Eli Roth's kind of homage to those movies.
Too much.
It was just bad.
Too much, yeah.
Yeah, just wasn't any good.
The only over-the-top gore I like is stuff like Peter Jackson's Dead Alive, or,
yeah,
you know,
sense of humor to it.
Like kind of weird, schlocky Japanese gangster movies and stuff. But when the torture porn stuff, I don't see the point.
Yeah, I actually fast-forwarded through much of Green Inferno. I just kind of wanted to finally see what the deal was. And I know the deal, and it's not that great of a deal. Anyway, The Ritual, you can get on Netflix. David made this himself and then sold it to Netflix. So that's where it will live forever. So go check it out and support David Bruckner. Great guy. Finally, we finish up here with comment cards, some emails from you guys. And this one is from Aaron Burke. What is a book you want to make into a movie, you would want made into a movie? I'm going to go with my first instinct here, Aaron, and say the book Middlesex. I've been long on record as saying it's one of my favorite books, if not my favorite, from the great Jeffrey Eugenides. And he also wrote The Virgin Suicides, which made a great movie. And it's just really, really terrific. It's a wonderful story. Middlesex, however, would be tough to make into a 2-hour film. And so the last thing I saw, which would be great, is that somebody, I think Showtime, might have been developing it for a limited run series, which is the perfect way to tell the story of Middlesex. And I think, I mean, this is a few years ago, so clearly there are some problems in development with it, because I don't think it's like right around the corner. But hopefully Showtime still has their eyes on the prize with Middlesex. Because that would be just great to see that on the small, big screen. You got one, Noel?
I don't read nearly enough as I should, Chuck.
All right. Fair enough.
Oh, I will say, though, I'd love to see a modern adaptation of The Grapes of Wrath. And I know that it's a classic, the film, but I just would love to see it like a la P.T. Anderson or something.
Yeah.
Like big, sweeping, like, you know, modern Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, I hear you. Like with cell phones and laser tag.
Just with, you know, Ryan Gosling and Amy Adams.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Boom. Sold.
Casting directors, hit me up.
All right. Number two, Cary Grey. Best and worst remake. I am going to go, I mentioned this in the last episode, Arthur is the worst remake. And when it comes to bad remakes, it's probably because that first movie was important to you. The original Arthur was very important to me as a movie. In fact, I'll do a whole segment on Arthur at some point. And I only saw a little bit of the remake. I didn't even want to see a little bit of it. Even though our pal John Hodgman is in it, briefly. It was a bad idea. The great Greta Gerwig is in it. Russell Brand is great. And on paper, I would have thought, you know what? Russell Brand, perfect casting to replace Dudley Moore. But, in the end, just don't remake Arthur.
Yeah. Russell Brand's a bit much sometimes.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. You got a bad remake?
A bad remake. I try not to watch bad movies if possible, unless they're Nicolas Cage movies.
Right. Man.
No, nothing comes to mind right off.
This is becoming a bit now. I like it.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
And then the best remakes, I'm just going to list a few of them here. Some of my favorites, Scarface, the Brian De Palma version, with Al Pacino, one of the great, great remakes of all time, Cape Fear. The Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, Nick Nolte, Jessica Lange version, and Juliette Lewis, one of the great, great remakes of all time. And I'm going to stick with Scorsese with The Departed. That was a remake of a foreign film called Infernal Affairs. And The Departed was one of my favorite movies of that year. Some people don't like that movie. I don't get it. I think it's just terrific.
I think it's excellent. This one came up in your interview with John Ronson. The Let the Right One In remake is excellent. I would argue a little unnecessary, but very, very good.
Yep. Agreed. Let Me In. Very good job with that one. Good question, Cary Grey. And then finally, Shannon Lee asks Chuck and Noel, you can watch only one genre for the rest of your life. Which would it be? One genre of movie. That is tough. Shannon, I'm going to let Noel think, and I think with drama, just straight up drama. And drama is on a spectrum. So that includes a lot. So maybe that's why I'm picking it. I love to laugh and I love comedies, but there are so few really great comedies these days. I feel like I would be wasting my time. Romantic comedies, certainly not if I was going to pick a genre. Sci-fi, I love for sure. Horror, I like, but I don't think I could diet only on those movies. So I'm going to go with just straight up drama.
I think that's a bit of a cheat, Chuck, because drama can include sci-fi. Drama has comedy. Drama has, you know, if it's a good film.
Yeah, but if it's got sci-fi in it, it will be called sci-fi.
That's the rules of this exercise?
I think so.
Okay.
What are you picking?
I think drama as well. I was going to say comedy, but I feel like so much good drama has comedy in it. And
sure.
Like these days, like stuff that's billed as a straight comedy, it's not usually great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So if it's a good film, like Lady Bird, for example, which I have not seen, but apparently has a lot of humor in it, but, you know, it's not a comedy.
No,
per se.
Lady Bird, I would call it coming of age drama.
Right. Yeah.
For sure.
I think encapsulated within drama, you kind of get all of the tasty bits that you need for your movie diet. So I think that's a good one, Chuck.
Tasty bits from Noel. So that's another mini crush in the can. Right, Noel?
It is, in fact, in the can. Like a film can? Is that what we're talking about?
That's where it comes from.
Cool.
If I'm not mistaken.
You learn something new every day that you probably already should have known.
That's right. Great subtitle for the show. So your homework this week, everybody, is the great independent film Party Girl, starring Parker Posey. This week's guest is going to be Guy Branum. Wonderful, awesome, super smart, just great guy. See what I did there? Guy's a comedian. He does this great show called Talk Show The Game Show. And he's just a great dude. It was good to have him in here. And I wanted to start my own podcast with Guy after we did that episode. And so we talked about Party Girl. Watch it this week. And thanks a lot for listening.